We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Well, we've got an exciting guest, a guy that's been around for some time, the Michigan football program, but we have yet to have him on. Today is the day. That's Braden McGregor out of Port Huron. Excited to have him on. He's been at Michigan now 4 years, and a great story. We're going to get to his in just a little bit when we return on In the Trenches.
Welcome to the official podcast of Michigan Football, In the Trenches with John Jansen, presented by Meijer, presenting sponsor of the 2022 Michigan football season and proud supporter of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. The former two-time captain and national champion covers the Wolverines better than anyone.
Having a sack against Michigan State and then making those plays against Ohio State, it was a real moment for me. You know, all games are big, but those two in particular are games that I know that I want to make my mark on.
This is In the Trenches, presented by Meijer. Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends. And we're going to have a little break before Memorial Day. There's no Conquering Heroes this week, no Defend the Block next week. So this week's Defend the Block is already out, women's basketball focused, and we've got new assistant Jillian Dunston and soon-to-be junior Jordan Hobbs. It's a great listen. Make sure you go there because we're going to be joined in just a couple of minutes by my partner, Brian Bush. He's the one that runs that show, and it's a great listen. So make sure you tune in next week on In the Trenches. We've got two interviews for the price of one. Tight end Colston Loveland, great freshman year. What does he do for an encore? We'll get a chance to talk to him. And Davis Warren came racing out of the box about a year ago in the spring game. A great story and a great kid. Excited to have both of them on next week's edition of In the Trenches. But as I mentioned, I want to bring in my partner, and it is Brian Bush. Brian, how you doing?
I'm great. I think these last handful of interviews that we've done, and there have been some transfers, some young players, some veterans, it has reinforced for me just how deep this roster is. This time last year, very few people knew the name Colston Loveland. Who knows if the likes of a Davis Warren or a Jack Tuttle will ever truly make their presence felt in games that matter at Michigan. But when those are the questions with those types of talents and some of the others we've talked to, it goes to show the whole reload versus rebuild is very much the theme around Ann Arbor and Michigan football.
Yeah, you look at every position group and you've got guys with experience that are terrific football players. You got guys that you're really excited that we've had a chance to talk to that are going to get their opportunity this coming year, some of them in future years. but it, no matter what level it is, starter, second, third, fourth, and we heard this, you know, when we talked to Sherrone Moore, like the opportunities on both sides of the ball to be creative, to create mismatches for opponents, it's really going to be a fun season. And if everybody's able to stay healthy, I mean, this is, I think to say it's a fun season or could be a fun season is about as nondescript as we can make it.
Well, let's make things more descript with our 7 from 77. We haven't done one of these in a little while, so let's just get an update. What's happening around the facility, the program? This is kind of a portion of the calendar where, you know, some guys are here, some guys go home or go elsewhere. Maybe the weekend, the long weekend, the holiday weekend coming up, they might travel this coming weekend. We're reaching the 100-day mark until the season opener here this week. Many of you listening to this over that holiday weekend will be past it and into double digits for the countdown. So what is happening right now?
Well, you kind of nailed it where there's some guys that are in their hometown. They're getting a chance to see their family, recharge the batteries a little bit. They'll start coming back in the next couple of days, next couple of weeks. The guys that are in town right now that are taking classes, that are in-person classes, hey, they're going to be trickling into Schembechler Hall here and there, getting some workouts in. But it's really that time since that trip that they took out east. It's just a matter of, hey, getting recharged, making sure you're ready to go for the long haul that is the football season. And as we inch closer, we get into double digits in terms of 99, 98, 97 days until the season starts. Guys start to get anxious. They start to put in more and more work, and the season starts a lot sooner than just the first day of training camp. So now's that time for them to spend away from football, away from working out, allowing their bodies to fully heal and regenerate, you know, heart, soul, mind, all of that stuff going on right now.
Number two, something that is in the books. It's becoming a bit of an annual tradition for this program. The team trip is done. It was awesome to kind of see some of the posts, the videos, the comments from afar. What'd you hear about it for the Wolverines? Almost a week-long trip to a handful of really cool spots.
Well, first, the guys love it because there's no school. There's no working out. This is really you could call it a vacation, you could call it an educational trip, whatever you want. It's the guys have about 7 days to spend together where there's no responsibilities. You just have to make sure you show up at the right time. You've got options. You get to do things with your buddies. You get to grow as a team. And that's one of the things I love about this trip is they get to do all of those things. And whether it was, hey, seeing the sights and getting to experience New York, DC, some of the historical landmarks along the way, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and getting a chance to see all the Michigan guys that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It was a action-packed 7 days. They got a lot, they shoved a lot in there, but guys got to pick and choose what they were going to do, and I think that's one of the great things about that trip and doing it with their buddies. It's a fun event, and it's a bonding event. I've mentioned it many times, to be able to do these things, not just with your buddies, but with the coaches. You see the coaches with their families. It all helps to build a stronger team.
Reality is you pour so much into football all times of year. Obviously, once the season hits, you're basically in the midst of a 24/7 type of a deal in a lot of ways. So to get a chance to explore, get out, spend time with those who you know have become a secondary family. You mentioned the coaching staff, you know, their actual, you know, blood family. It's pretty neat to see that reprieve. All right, number three on our 7 from 77. We'll expand out to some national topics, some Big Ten topics that have come out in recent weeks since our last 7 from 77. Pete Thamel of ESPN had a long report this past weekend discussing the Big Ten's TV deal and some issues, some lack of communication. One of the things discussed was that night game reprieve that we've seen from the Big Ten in recent seasons that, you know, it sounds like it was not in the short form contract, according to Thamel, and that's being discussed with some of the long form contracts still unsigned as of that report. And Michigan's athletics director, Ward Manuel, was quoted. He said, quote, NBC was surprised and I was surprised. We had not discussed and I had not discussed with anyone in the league to change the tolerances we had agreed upon years ago, end quote. And those tolerances were basically No night games in the final 3 weeks of the regular season unless it was okayed by both the home and the road team. Other stuff, apparently the 2026 Big Ten Championship game for football that was reported to go to NBC was a game that Fox didn't sign off on going to NBC. There were coaches in football, men's basketball, I'm sure other sports, complaining about a lack of communication. Kevin Warren, he agreed to this deal. He put it out there, and now he's no longer in the league. It was a very short tenure for him as the Big Ten commissioner. Interesting from his standpoint, from the league standpoint, that report. How did you interpret what Thamel put out?
Well, I think we're going to be very grateful that it was a short tenure for Kevin Warren. And obviously a lot of obstacles that he had to deal with, some seen, some unforeseen in regards to the pandemic. But I don't think we're going to look back and say this was a great few years. And this is just some of the, I think, aftermath that we're going to find. I don't think this is going to be the last of it. And you got to iron some of these things out. And when you start talking to schools and they're told that, hey, you're going to have to send back X number of dollars because we are, you know, changing networks. We've got to pay Fox this. We've got to pay, you know, Big Ten Network gets this and NBC wants this. It's kind of a mess. And here's how I'm going to look at it is we talk about this when we watch the film after a win or after a loss. It's never as good as you thought it was going to be, and it's never as bad as you thought it was. So you look at this deal and you say, you know what? It looked like it was this bright, shiny object for the Big Ten. Well, it's never quite what you think it's going to be, but it's never as bad as you thought either. So there's a little give and take. There's going to be some of this finding out. They're going to work everything out. The big question that I have is, what are they going to do with those primetime games? Because there's a big difference for a network to say, hey, in November, we can pick and choose from a couple of games. We could put those at 8:30. They're going to get better ratings on those simply because of the time of day than they would at 3:30 or at noon. And now if, hey, we're not going to allow you to have those games, or both ADs got to agree on those games like where it was in previous agreements, that changes things. So they'll work everything out. I think it's a whole lot of do about nothing. And when it all comes down, eventually schools are going to get paid. Eventually networks are going to get their games to air. They're going to sell their advertising, and everybody's going to make a whole lot of money.
I always find it so funny in college football. You have things that are reported about games and situations that are happening in 2026 and beyond. It makes me laugh. And I'll tell you this, John, college football needs to capitalize on what we experienced in the NFL a couple of weeks back. The NFL schedule release is an event. It's a thing. It is a way to keep the conversation going. And I'm as excited as I am for South Bend in 2033 and 34. Like, why can't these things be done in a way where it's yearly, right? Like, at least the conference schedule. College football is slow to react to a lot of stuff as a whole, and I think it's because there's no real center base like the NFL has, right? But man, like, it's wild to me that stuff like this can transpire, and it's ultimately, like you said, it's gonna work out. But there's so many of those reports of things that are gonna happen when we're not even thinking about. Think about how different things were 3 years ago in a number of ways, right? That's how long some of this stuff has to work itself out.
Yeah, and I mean, just take a look at the opportunity to play Texas and Oklahoma. Michigan has those. Well, those are now SEC teams. Does Texas want to play a Big Ten team? Does Oklahoma want to play a Big Ten team? Does Michigan want to play those teams? You got to have both sides still want to do that now that Texas and Oklahoma are going to be in a different conference. Does that ever, you know, actually happen? I think at least the first couple will. But as we go down that road of, you know, constant evolution of the conferences, what does it look like next year? What does it look like in 2 years, 3 years? I get the non-conference schedule, having to schedule out so far because there's so many moving parts and so many different entities. Nobody wants to be left at the last minute without a 12th game. But the conference schedule, you would think that's 100% under the Big Ten's control. So why, you know, I have the same question you do. Why not make it a, you know, event similar to what the Big Ten or like the NFL has? It's not going to be as big, right? It's regional. It's a regional conference with now nationally, relevant teams, but there's got to be a way to make it a little bit more streamlined, so to speak.
The conference games do not need to be announced 4 years down the road, and maybe reserve one non-conference. If you want to set up, hey, we're playing Western Michigan in 2026 and 2029, totally get it. That makes sense, right? But can we find a way to reserve one non-conference game a year and kind of rotate it? And is it negotiated this time of year? Is it a set structure, kind of like in the NFL, where two games are the third place team in the NFC North plays the third place team in the NFC South, something along those lines. There's got to be something, and who knows, maybe I'm just beating a dead horse. All right, number four, you alluded to something in that answer about realignment, the movement of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC. Of course, the Big Ten working to incorporate USC and UCLA coming up around this time next year when it'll be officially transitioned. But there are more realignment whispers. Pac-12 does not have its media rights deal locked in. They'd love to have some of the problems the Big Ten is currently having with its multimedia rights deal. And according to many reports, the Big 12 may be looking to pounce. And in the ACC, a lot's revolved around their grant of rights deal, basically locking in home team broadcast revenue to the ACC through 2036, which has frozen out a lot of possibilities. I want your thoughts on those three leagues here momentarily. But from the Big Ten standpoint, with all of this happening and the league at a pretty clean 16 with two program still needing to be incorporated, what do you want the Big Ten to be looking at with new commissioner Tony Petitti, whether it's future targets or learning from other leagues' mistakes, stuff along those lines? What do you hope the Big Ten is zeroed in on right now?
I hope that they're just simply zeroed in on themselves. Focus on what we have, what we're doing. And yes, UCLA and USC are going to be a part of the Big Ten. How do we incorporate that? How do we, as a conference, especially in terms of scheduling for sports, make it easy on the student athlete to be competing coast to coast? That's going to be a huge challenge. We don't need to constantly be adding teams and looking at, oh, do we want to go into the Northeast? Do we want to go to the South? I mean, Northwest. Do we want to go to the Southeast? Like, I think eventually, and it'll be a sad day, the Pac-12, Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12, whatever you want to call it, will eventually disappear, dissolve, whatever term you want to use. And it's going to be sad. There's great history there. But with them losing USC and UCLA, they've been trying to get their grant of rights deal done. And it's never going to be enough for the teams that are left there. And there's really nobody to add that's going to add value. Eventually, I think, and we thought a couple of years ago, it was going to be the Big 12 that disappeared. It looks more like it's going to be the Pac-12 because they lost their two marquee teams. Even though the Big 12 did, they've been able to add a few teams, at least in the future, to where you're like, okay, I can see them surviving. The Pac-12, you know, not so much. So I think eventually they'll get absorbed by the Big 12, and then you're going to have four power conferences. The ACC is pretty much locked in. I will say this. If there's enough money, and maybe it's not this year, maybe it's not 2 years from now or 3 years from now, but eventually there's going to be enough money that the schools will be able to pay off whoever they need to pay off, or whoever wants those contracts will be able to buy them out at some point, and they'll absorb that loss simply because the net gain will be enough to make that happen. So if it's not this year, it still could be 3, 4, 5 years down the road. And we might end up seeing three conferences. I think four would be ideal. It's a nice, easy, round number. Makes going to, you know, it would be ideal now with a four-team playoff, but going to 12 teams, it'll make it a little bit more streamlined. But it'll be sad, but I do think that the Pac-12 eventually disappears.
So a lot of your prognostications and all that, I think, were medium to long term. So number five on our 7 from 77, this time next year, as the Big Ten will be in the final stages of ushering in USC and UCLA officially, What do you expect, if anything, to be different about those other three leagues, Pac-12, Big 12, ACC?
I think the Pac-12 will expand into Pac, or the Big 12 will expand into Pac-12 territory. I think that is inevitable, and it may not even take a year. It's going to take some time for all the contracts to be worked out. It may come to fruition at that time, because that's when USC and UCLA come to the Big Ten. And I think the Big 12 expands. I think the Pac-12, this may be the last year that we see the Pac-12 operate as we know it. The ACC, I think they're locked in for at least another 4 or 5 years. And then we're going to see some change. You know, you think about going all the way out to 2036. Like, I don't even know, you know, that doesn't even seem like a reality. That's 13 years away. And I think in another 5 years, the money will be such that something will happen at that time. But the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC, Big 12 largely remain the same. Big 12 expands a little bit, and unfortunately, I think the Pac-12 is. We're looking at the last year of it.
Yeah, compromising can happen when there's a shorter time window, right? But we have not seen any sort of 13-year stretches alleviated by money. And I don't expect to see that. The ACC with that grant of rights deal is probably locked in for the short, maybe even medium term. Okay, so with all that said, number 6 on our 7 from 77, the 12-team college football playoff is on the horizon after this coming season. So we talked about it being around 100 days until the Michigan football opener. College football, it's already less than 100 days away. Right now, as we sit in the late stages of May, give me your college football playoff top four who will compete on New Year's Day 2024 in the final four, as it's known in the college football era.
I do think Michigan will be a part of that. I think we've talked about the depth. We talked about the experience, the talent. I think they make a third trip to the college football playoffs. I think USC in the final year of the Pac-12, as I have deemed it, they will finally get a Pac-12 team into the college football playoffs. I'm not ready to rule out Georgia. Coming out of the SEC, they've won it 2 years in a row. Even though they are going to have a different quarterback, I think they're going to find a way to continue to be a dominant defense. Offense will come along by the time they get into the SEC season, and they're going to be right there as well. And then I think we see an ACC team again this year, and I'm going to go with Florida State. I think that they are a team that's going to be surprising. It's taken a little bit of getting used to Florida State and Norvell and Florida State. They've seemed to work those things out, and I think this could be the year that we see Florida State return to at least being relevant on the national scene.
ACC and Pac-12. John, what in the world has gotten into you?
Well, I mean, it really depends on, okay, what is Texas, Quinn Ewers, what are they going to be this year? I don't see Oklahoma really making a recovery out of the Big 12. And that would be my fifth team. You know, I know there's not obviously five in this, but I think Texas is going to be the big question mark. A very talented roster. Can Steve Sarkisian get all the right parts in the right places and stay healthy? That's kind of been the big thing for Texas over the last 2-3 years, is they've had talent. Everyone wants to know, is Texas back? Well, they've got to stay healthy. Quinn Ewers, if he doesn't go down in that Alabama game, maybe things are different. You know, and they had obviously Bijan Robinson last year. How do they replace not one but two running backs that are now going to be playing on Sunday? So it's a lot of question marks, but it's going to be an exciting football season.
And we'll find out about Florida State very early. They play the Sunday of Labor Day weekend in Orlando against LSU. That is a heck of a start to Florida State's season. All right, number 7, back to Michigan football, one of your four to go to the college football playoff. Truly shocking there, but I do agree. I'm not going to give you crap for that, obviously. Braden McGregor, I think he's a key part of that quest to go back for a third consecutive time. I couldn't believe when we were talking about some, you know, just off the mic about some guys to try to highlight this offseason that this was the first time you and him had done an interview. We did a couple of them with him during the radio pregame this past season. But, hey, it took him a little while to get going. Through no fault of his own, some injuries, the COVID year, all that. But I think it's fair to say big things are expected from this young man. So I want two different expectations. I want the realistic ones, and give me the ceiling. If everything clicks, what will Braden McGregor's season look like?
Well, I think Braden McGregor is, he's that player that came in with a lot of excitement. And then during his senior year of high school, he got hurt. It took him a long time to come back from it. And then when he was ready to go, he was just down the depth chart for some behind some really good players. And we've seen all those guys, you know, play on Saturdays, put up big numbers, be impact players on this team, and then they're playing on Sundays. I think Braden McGregor is a guy that could be anywhere between 8 to 12 sacks. I think he definitely has that opportunity and that ability to be a 12 or a double-digit sack guy for this defense. Here's what I like about Braden is he studies as much as anybody else does in preparing for a game and preparing for an opponent, and we saw that pay off, and you're going to hear it in the interview, but we saw it pay off in the Ohio State game. We saw it pay off, you know, throughout different times. When he has opportunity, he takes advantage of that opportunity. He's where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there, and now he's going to be thrust into a role, a much more prominent role that is going to put him, you know, and it really comes down to how many different ways can Jesse Minter, Mike Elston find ways to use him. He's got the size where, like an Aiden Hutchinson, he could play anywhere on that defensive line, like a Mike Morris. He's got some reach. He's got some length. He's got some speed, some get off. And I think he's going to be a focal point of this defense. And, you know, hey, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he is a – he certainly should be an all-Big Ten selection. And if things go right, could be looking at the possibility of an All-American season.
All right, let's get into it. Great conversation. A couple of Michigan men and Michigan natives chopping it up.
Yeah, excited for everybody to get a chance to learn a little bit more about Braden McGregor, who he is, where he's from, what his goals are, and a great couple of ads in terms of the story about the art that he has on his body. Here's Braden McGregor.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, I've waited a long time to talk to this guy. It's Braden McGregor, born and raised in the state of Michigan, Port Huron Northern High School. Going to be a senior. I can't believe it's taken this long to get you on the podcast, but thanks for joining me, and I just want to know, when you look at your time at Michigan, because you came in, you were a little dinged up, you fought your way up the depth chart, where do you see yourself now?
For sure. First of all, thanks for having me, and you know, my time at Michigan has been, you know, very interesting. Not many people have the journey that I had to go on, so it was definitely different than what I thought it was going to be when I committed here. But looking back at it now and where I am now, I wouldn't change it for anything. It taught me so many things outside of football that you know, I can use in my everyday life after football. So I'm happy where I am now, but the journey definitely took a while, but it was worth it.
Well, the journey, I mean, and not all of it was, for guys that are here are going to be seniors, you came in, you had the injury, but you also had COVID to deal with. You've had so many different things. You mentioned some of the lessons. What are some of the lessons you learned about life and about circumstances since you've been in Ann Arbor?
I would say the biggest thing is, and I know it sounds cliche, but never doubt yourself. Like, always bet on yourself. And, you know, there's a lot of times there where I was like, I probably won't play football ever again. You know, I was 18 years old and thinking, oh, I got this, all this great stuff ahead of me. And then, you know, it kind of gets stripped away quick, and then you got to earn it all back. But I think that's one of the big things. And then I think it really taught me to like love your family and cherish every moment with them, because without them, I would not have been probably here or playing football. So I think definitely with the injury, they helped out so much, my family, you know, and then just trusting people that are professionals at their job. You know, there's a lot of times, like, you know, in school where I'm like, man, what are these teachers talking about? But, you know, it's the same thing that goes with doctors, that they're like telling you, oh, you're going to be good. And you're just like, man, my knee's never going to get good. It's never going to be back to where I was. And they're telling me it's going to be back to where I was and stronger. And, you know, I think that's another lesson, just trust people. So
one of the worst things you could tell an athlete is be patient. It's going to get better,
right?
Because we are control freaks. And hey, you do something, you get better, and you perform better. But when you're hurt, there's a time factor involved. And one of the things, you know, when Coach Harbaugh at the end of the year was talking about, I asked about Braden McGregor. He says he is on the verge of being that breakout stud that we've seen here at Michigan, especially over the last couple of years with Aiden, with Ojabo, Mike this past year. When you hear coaches say he's on the verge of breaking out, like, what's the next step for you?
I think kind of like, you know, going back to my lessons, is trusting the people that know what they're talking about.
Not going to argue with them.
Yeah. Not going to argue with them at all on that. But, I definitely think that, you know, the verge for me of breaking out is I was there at the end of the year. I felt like myself. I felt like I can go out there and make plays, not doubting myself, not thinking too much about the plays. And, now it's just putting it all together. You know, I have, you know, what I think is everything I need to be successful. And, I think just going out there every day and proving it to everybody that doubted me, or everybody that said I'd never be the same after my injury. So and proving it to myself. You know, I've been through, like I said, this long journey, and I just want to make it all worth it and not have any regrets.
When I watch you on film, one of the things I always know is right place, right time. And I know, you know, some people look at different stats in regards to tackles for loss or it's sacks, and that's all a part of the equation. But especially in today's football, when there's read option and you've got a, you know, you're reading a quarterback, you're reading a running back, you've got a certain assignment, it's more important right place, right time than stats, because somebody else is going to make that tackle. When you mention trust those that know, and you trust your coaches to tell you to be in those places, you trust, you know, the people that are saying, hey, you're going to get better, you're going to be good, you're on the verge. Talk about the trust that you've been able to develop in your teammates so that when you are right place, right time, you know they're going to do the same thing.
Right. I think it first starts with our coaches of, they instill the trust in everybody. You know, Coach Minner, since he's got here, has always said, do your job and be you. And when you do that and everybody does that, you know, you can have as much trust in everybody that you want. Because I know I got the quarterback on this play, it's a read option. If I get the quarterback, I know that our linebacker is going to come and fill and our linebacker is going to come and fill and take the running back. So I definitely think trust is a big thing for our defense. And, you know, with the guys that we have and the way our locker room is, of how close we are, it's really easy to trust, like, our guys on defense.
The other thing in the Ohio State game was very noticeable. Obviously, when you are reading a defense and you see that there's either a wide receiver coming in motion or they flare a running back out, you get that big paw up and you knock a couple of passes down. The feeling of getting your hand on the ball, what's that like?
I would say during that game, it was like nothing I've ever felt before. You know, I've made some plays where it's like, oh, that's awesome, you know, I'm excited. But specifically that first one, I think it was the second quarter, I saw that both the receivers were out wide, and I knew they were coming in on, one of them at least was coming in on a slant. So I was supposed to be in that window. And when I like got there and I got in the right spot at the right time and I put my hand up, it was just a little too high. But, man, that was awesome. I just remember coming to the sideline. Mike Moore specifically was like, can you jump? Can you get up? Come on, man. And I'm like, I tried. Like, it happened so quick. But, you know, that was awesome. And then the second one, obviously, we called a timeout before the play or whatever. So we're sitting on the sidelines and we're like, hey, if this running back goes out, it's going to him. And so I see the running back go out or the wide receiver hit a bubble or whatever. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to get upfield. And I just stuck my hand out and it, right spot, right time. But I wish I would have caught that because I was free.
Like, you think you could have made the end zone?
Oh, 100%.
No one's catching you,
no.
Eh?
No, not at all. And it's in front of our parents' section, too. I know my parents are there. I'm like, oh, man.
So after that point, now maybe you've done this before. If you get that opportunity, you do score a touchdown. What are you going to do? Would you give the ball to mom, dad, or you got to dance? Obviously, there's some parameters because you know you still got to go to the sideline.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. I think it depends on the game. I don't think Coach Harbaugh will like it too much, but there might be a penalty, you know. You never know. I mean, it depends on the game for sure, because if it's, you know, we're playing Ohio State, I might have to, you know, act up a little bit, do something.
Uh-huh.
But it'll definitely be with my teammates and, you know, just celebrating excessively, I guess.
I mentioned at the beginning, you're from the state of Michigan, Port Huron. You grew up, I don't know how much Michigan football you watch, if you grew up a Michigan football fan, but you can't grow up in the state of Michigan and not understand what Michigan-Michigan State means, what Michigan-Ohio State means. What did it mean for you to not only be able to get an opportunity to play in those games, but to have moments like you just talked about?
Right. So growing up in the state of Michigan, I was a huge Michigan fan for everything. Football, hockey. You know, I have my Facebook that I still, like, haven't updated to this day since probably, like, fifth grade. And on it says, I play hockey at the University of Michigan. So being a huge Michigan fan and being able to see those rivalries, like in my elementary school, you'd pick your school, like when we play, like, okay, you're either Michigan or Michigan State, and you wear your colors. And there was always, like, a little beef on the playground, whoever, like, Michigan versus Michigan State, a little football game, whatever. But I definitely think that being able to watch those rivalries growing up and then being able to take part of it and, you know, having a sack against Michigan State and then making those plays against Ohio State, it was like a surreal moment for me. You know, all games are big, but those two in particular are games that, you know, I know that I want to make my mark on and be able to look back and have memories like that of a team that I hated growing up.
So being a hockey guy, there's no wrong answer to this question. Okay. I'll preface it by saying that because I've got my own and I'll share it with you after yours. But what's better, the big house and the environment in the big house or inside Yost?
I would definitely say the big house for sure. I think Yost can get crazy at sometimes. You know, after we won the Big Ten championship this year, Coach Harbaugh like went out on the ice and we all snuck out there real quick. And it was going crazy in there. But I'll tell you what, that Washington game, my sophomore year.
The maze out?
Yes. That first play, I've never heard it that loud. You know, and it was nice weather and all that, night game. But, you know, that game, Ohio State, you know, it was so loud that, like, you can't hear anything. So I think, you know, just with the more fans and, like, the atmosphere that's brought around football of, like, tailgating and, like, driving to the stadium and seeing everybody out there. And, you know, I think the big house, you know, tops Yost a little bit, but I think they're both really good.
It's really hard to say because I might actually give a little bit of an edge to Yost simply because it's such an intimate setting. And the chants have been the same chants for 50 years or more. And how they treat officials, how they treat the opposing team. It's just, it's unique. It's intimate. And every time you go in there, they're fired up. Same with the big house. I'm not saying that they're not fired up, but I really enjoyed that intimate setting. I do want to ask you a little bit about your tattoos.
Right.
Because I was looking at pictures and like, is there any room left? Or you got a lot of room left.
Yeah.
All right. So what was your first one?
So my first one I got when I just turned 16. It's on my left shoulder. It's like mountains with my grandpa's initials. So in fifth grade, my grandpa died, and I always knew that I wanted tattoos growing up. My parents both had them. You know, I always looked at it. I'm like, it just looks so cool. So when he died, I was in fifth grade, and I told my parents, first tattoo I'm getting to honor him. So he was a big hunter. He'd always go up in the mountains in Canada and just hunt. So I actually shot my first deer when I was with him. So I got that one in like honor for him. And then I have a lot of stuff revolving around my family. I got Roman numerals all over my body that are all my family's birthdays, down to my dog's birthdays, my grandparents, And then I got a lot of stuff for home. Like I have my bridge from Port Huron, the Blue Water Bridge that goes over to Canada. My dad works on the bridge, so
okay,
I got that in honor of him. And you know, my leg sleeve might be my favorite one, though. It's all the people that I looked up to when I was like growing up. So I have like Kobe, I got Steve Yzerman, I got a portrait of my grandpa, I got Juice WRLD, which is my favorite artist. And then I have a Grim Reaper that pretty much represents an hourglass on the back. So it represents like, you know, you can be a legend, but it's all going to eventually like come to an end. So make your mark while you're here.
I saw the Block M too. When'd you get one?
I got that one my freshman year here. I knew when I got here, I was like, I'm going to get a Block M eventually. And I scheduled this tattoo appointment and I went there and I told him, actually this one is very meaningful too. So, when I was thinking about getting it, I was like, okay, you know, people always told me you're never going to play for Michigan. You're never going to be able to do like accomplish your dreams. You come from Port Huron. Not many people even go to Michigan. Yeah. So I got an astronaut and, it's like the universe or like the galaxy and the stars and all that. And then the Block M above. So it's pretty much like reach for the stars, reach for your goals. And this is one of my goals. So
that's awesome. So you got some room left. I won't ask where all the room is, but do you have, like, when you look at your tattoos and they tell the story, of your life, your hopes, your dreams, and everybody that's meant something to you, did you, like, how do you get them all to fit together? Like, is there a plan that you have for future tattoos?
Yeah, I'm actually planning out this big back piece right now that kind of tells my whole story of from growing up hockey. So I'm using my first hockey rink that I learned to skate with my dad and my sister. And then it's going to move to my youth football field, then to my other field, all the way up to the college. And then what else am I getting?
You're going to leave some space for what's next?
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be the end, the bottom of it. So I'll get like the top, like shoulder blade part. So that'll be for now. But, you know, I'm excited for that one. I've been working on that for probably 2 months now. So.
Do you draw it out yourself?
No, I've given him the ideas and he's sent me stuff back and I change something up real quick. And then he sends me another thing back and this one, I'm really like, this one's really sentimental to me, so I want to make sure it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. When I ask you what's next, obviously you're going to be a senior this year. You've got a lot of options. What type of goals do you have for yourself? And let's just start with this football season, just individual goals for yourself.
Right. So for this football season, my main goal is put my name in that category of great Michigan defensive ends that came through here. You know, I've been here with two first rounders. Should have been a third one with Jabo. Mike Morris is about to be up there too. Just putting my name in that category of guys that have been under Coach Harbaugh that go to the league and leaving a mark in the stadium of when I walk out of there for my last time, being not looking back and having any regrets and just appreciating the journey. I went from watching every game my freshman year to being able to play every game my senior year.
What do you feel like in the self-evaluation you got to do to get to that point?
Right. I think pretty much what I have to do is finish my opportunities. I talked to Coach Elson a lot about this year of I had so many opportunities this year, especially in the first three games of where I could have had four sacks in the first three games. And I just missed it, or I was just going too fast. And I think this all comes with maturity and playing wise now of you know, slowing down and making sure I make the play rather than going for the big hit or going for the strip sack. Make sure you get the quarterback secured first. So I think that's a big thing that I've worked on this offseason of just focus more on the guy in front of me, like whether it's a tackle, making sure that I hit the hands and dip or whatever. So I think it's just the little details now of just really locking into that, and I feel like I'll be able to be where I want to be.
We so much, when I talk to athletes, we talk about performance and goals and what do you got to do for the X's and O's. But now that you're a senior, one of the things that everybody expects, if you wore the winged helmet, if you wore the maize and blue, that juniors and seniors got to lead. How do you view leadership and how do you view yourself in regards to how you can lead?
Right. The way I view leadership for me is it's a little different because, you know, I expect a lot out of a lot of people. And, you know, I'm one of the guys in the locker room that I'll go through and talk to everybody while I'm in there. Just make my presence known and like, hey, like, you know, we all like are together on this. You know, you can trust me. I can trust you. So I think that's one way of just leading and being like, hey, let's go. We got this today. You know, it's not a big deal. It's another day of practice. You might be tired, but we got to go. So I think that's one of the ways I lead in the locker room. And then on the field, I let my pads do the talking. That's what I was taught my whole life, of you don't have to be the guy sitting there rah-rah, hyping everybody up. But definitely if something's going bad, you have to step up. You can't just let it keep getting worse and worse, because then it's going to be bad. So I definitely think just let my pads talk. If I need to step in and talk, I'll talk. But definitely those two ways.
You got two Big Ten championship rings. What would it mean to have at the end of this year a third, but also a national championship?
Man, it'd be awesome. You know, coming here, that was the goal, of never lose to Ohio State, never, you know, lose to Michigan State. But and Big Ten, like putting Michigan back on the map was one of the goals that my class specifically came here for. We were talking in the group chat as soon as everybody committed and we all signed. We're like, we're changing this. You know, when we get there, we're winning. Like, we're not sitting here and like being the, oh, so close, we were so close. So I think having two rings on my finger and being able to have a third, and maybe even a fourth and fifth for the bull ring and the natty and all that, mm-hmm. it would just be surreal for me to be able to come here and know that when I first got here, we were good, but we weren't to the level we are now. And then being able to leave Michigan while having all this would be awesome.
Well, Braden, I appreciate your time. Best of luck as you continue to prepare for the season. And I know you're in for a big year, so we're looking forward to seeing it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank Braden McGregor for his time. Next week, make sure that you tune in, that you like, you subscribe, so you get young tight end Colston Loveland. Excited to have him on the podcast. Excited to see what his career continues to evolve and become here at Michigan. And Davis Warren, just a guy looking for an opportunity. At some point, that's going to happen. Excited to hear from him and see him continue to grow and contribute to this team. That's coming up next week. But if you want to make sure you get all your Michigan football information, again, like, subscribe, so that In the Trenches is always in your inbox when we release them. Next week, Colston Loveland, Davis Warren, all off-season long. Anything you want to know about Michigan football, coming to you right here on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, presented by Meijer, presenting sponsor of the 2022 Michigan football season and proud supporter of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. In the Trenches is part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network, MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.